The county's number one talk show, the 9 till noon show on Highland Radio.
And now it's time for the talk of the Northwest, the 9 to noon show with Greg Hughes on Highland Radio.
Hello and a very good morning to you. Wednesday, the 3rd of January, 2024, and a happy new year to all of you. Of course, we were back on air yesterday, but Donald sat in for me, my first show of 2024. How are you all keeping? I hope you're keeping very well indeed. I hope you had a wonderful Christmas and New Year, as good as possible. It was a tough period for some, of course. But anyway, we're into a new year, and hopefully things will improve from here or stay great, depending on where you are in your life at the moment. Okay, so we're going to kick straight off with a reminder of how you get involved in the programme, because, of course, throughout 2023, we enjoyed amazing support of the 9 till noon show on Highland Radio's general. Record numbers of people tuning in and watching and all that type of stuff, and keeping us really busy with their views and opinions, and keep it going for 2024. 086 60 25,000 is that WhatsApp and text number, 086 60 25,000, or give us a call on 07491 25,000. If you're outside the Republic, you know the international dialing code, don't you? 00353, drop the O and away you go with the rest of the number there. Emails from anywhere in the world, of course, to comments@highlandradio.com. and just to remind you, for those of you tuning in for the first time, maybe you're not back at work yet or what have you, that you can watch this show every single day live and see most of our guests live and in person as well. And how do you do so? Well, on your smart TV or your Fire Stick, there's the YouTube app. Type in Highland Radio Ireland. You can watch us on your big screen or across your mobile devices. And we also stream on Facebook, Highland Hub, Highland News and Sport, and on Twitter, or X as it's called now. So no excuses. Right, let's see what's making the front pages of the newspapers and the insides of some. We'll start with the Inish Times. Donegal County Council has refused planning permission for an industrial building in Fawn. The local authority has rejected an application for a new development which was proposed at the Lisfannan Industrial Estate. The application, submitted by John and Christopher Duffy, sought permission for the construction of a single-storey industrial building totalling 583.6 square metres. The Finn Valley Voice headline this morning, standing ovation for Maureen at Hootenanny. And that's the same story too on the inside of the Donegal Post. Maureen Bradley has described the experience of performing with some musical legends on Jules Holland's Hootenanny as amazing. The Ballybuffet teenager appeared on the BBC Two show on New Year's Eve, and her stirring rendition of Candyman was given a standing ovation. It was the Abbey Vocational School students' first televised performance. Millions tuned in to the show, and the rising Donegal musician was one of the real highlights. It was a really amazing experience. Everyone there was just so nice, Maureen told RTE's Morning Ireland, of course. And well done to her, doing herself, her family, and us all incredibly proud. On to the Irish Times this morning. There was a suspected arson attack on some property in Dublin over the Christmas. The director of the Dublin Region Homeless Executive has defended the service after politicians said they were not told of plans to create homeless accommodation at a vacant pub in Dublin, which was then set on fire. The fire broke out in the early hours of New Year's Eve at the Shipwright pub in Ringsend and took six fire tenders several hours to bring under control. Gardaí have confirmed that the fire was the work of arsonists. The building has been at the centre of the false rumours spread by far-right campaigners that it was to be used to house dozens of asylum seekers. You know, the usual rhetoric, fighting aged, unvetted males. But a row escalated yesterday after several politicians and local representatives called for a better communications strategy from the Dublin Region Homeless Executive and a formal notification process. And how long have we been talking about that on this show, for an example? If you have more conversation and what have you, it's much more beneficial in the long run, isn't it? on to the Irish Independent now. And lower speed limits on roads will be put in place by the end of this year, with all local authorities being told to review the streets in their areas by the end of the summer to ensure the measures can be enforced. As part of the most radical overhaul of speed limits on Irish roads in nearly two decades, Junior Transport Minister Jack Chambers said he wanted changes sequenced and synchronised nationally. Under new laws, speed limits will be lowered to 80 kilometres on national secondary roads, 60 kilometres on local and rural roads, and 30 kilometres in town centres and housing estates. But in a new and significant development, all local authorities in the country will be expected to carry out speed limit reviews this summer to give effect to the new regime by the end of the year. Now, my understanding of this when it was first announced was that this would give powers to lower speed limits where deemed necessary. You know, and I think we all know roads that perhaps have too high a speed limit. And what have you. So I presume that is still the situation, that it's not going to see a blanket reduction in speed limits, but certainly on certain roads where the speed limit is too high, like 80 kilometres per hour on, you know, small country roads with grass up the middle, not that there's anyone there to enforce those speed limits, or other roads that have 100k limits that perhaps would be better served with an 80 kilometre per hour limit. Presumably, it will not be just across the board, but as I say, the article doesn't really make that clear. So quite a bit of work for local authorities across the country to have done by the end of the summer. On to the Mail this morning, and politicians have been accused of being dishonest or deliberately vague with farmers about climate change policies out of fear of losing their vote. Social Democrat leader Holly Cairn says she finds the political approach to communication with farmers ridiculous and a little bit insulting. The Cork South West TD, who grew up on a farm, criticises opposition parties for not having a clear position on the nitrates derogation for Ireland and takes aim at the government for not preparing for the exemption being removed entirely, which is a bit of straight talking if that's the way it's going to be. Asked why she thinks political parties might not be clear about the scale of change needed, Ms. Cairn says, "I think they are scared of losing the farming vote and seeing everything in terms of election cycles." Ms. Cairns says they need to be forthright when discussing climate change proposals. "We're not willing to say the things that a lot of politicians aren't in relation to climate, because like that, it's this short-termism, the thinking that we better not say that." But I think kind of the majority of farmers have a fair idea of what's coming down the tracks. No doubt about it. Okay. It might be interesting to get a word with Ms. Cairns on that story. Some good news if you're out shopping, and God knows, I think lots of people have spent, overspent over the Christmas, New Year. So any saving we can make, all the better. Consumers had a spring in their step yesterday as Lidl announced it was slashing the price of hundreds of products. As the cost of living continues to bite, the German retailer confirmed it was cutting the prices of some goods in its everyday range. It brings more than 600 the number of products the retailer has reduced since in October 2023. And this might sound like an advert for Lidl, but the idea is that you get one big supermarket that makes these changes and others have to follow as they compete for our euros. Lidl announced reductions of up to 35% across a wide range of products, from fresh food to frozen favourites, cupboard staples to baking treats and home essentials. Recent Kantar data found most Irish people surveyed said they are extremely or very concerned about the rising cost of groceries. Hopefully we do see some, you know, a noticeable change. I think we noticed when it went up, you know, whatever your weekly shopping happened to be, you could see that 10, 15, 20% increase. Hopefully the change is such that we see the reduction as well and it can be felt. The Sun this morning: the future of the TV licence fee must be sorted out within 3 months. Eamon Ryan, the Green Party leader, has demanded a decision on the €160 licence future has been put on the long finger by some in the government. But Ryan believes the coalition needs to bite the bullet in the first 3 months of this year. He said the first and most important thing is the first and most important thing is, can we get an agreement to fund our broadcasters, as I think the funding of broadcasting media is probably the most critical decision we need to make in the first quarter of the year. It's important. Is it the most critical? I don't know. But sure, most of the year, they're not back till the 17th anyway, so a good third of the first, a quarter of the first quarter will be gone anyway. No, a third, not far off it, maybe a quarter. So they're on their hollybobs to the 17th, two more Wednesdays. And then they're back in the Dáil. And I heard Lee and Oisin reference an amazing story that's emerging at the World Darts Championship. It's a staple for many over the Christmas, New Year, watching the darts. But one person just has burst onto the scene at a senior level, and he's only 16 years of age. He's Luke Littler. And he is in line potentially for a 500 euro pound prize as he reaches the darts final, but he's facing the best dart thrower in the world. Teenager Luke Littler was roared on by his family last night as he became the youngest ever player to reach the PDC World Darts Championship final. The 16-year-old's nickname is the Nuke, and his fans almost blew the roof off the Alexandra Palace as he knocked out world number 8 Rob Cross in the semi-final, who doesn't come across as someone you necessarily want to hang out with, so I wasn't disappointed about that. Tonight, the Boy Wonder will aim to claim the title and pick up a £500,000. Sorry, the number is so big, and it's for such a young person that I'm struggling actually to get it out of my mouth. Half a million anyway. That's the winner's check in the process. It's the biggest prize in darts. As I say, I think you'll struggle tonight, but he has nerves of steel. And I think lots of you out there will be watching that as well, won't you? All right, anything you want to talk about? Anything you want to highlight to us? Anything happened over Christmas, New Year's significance? Or if you just want to say hello to someone or whatever, the lines are open for you right now. Very welcome back to the programme. We're joined on it now by Fianna Fáil Councillor Liam Blaney. Good morning, Liam, and a Happy New Year to you.
Good morning, Greg, and Happy New Year to you as well.
It's good to have you. It's good to have you on the program. Okay, we're talking about Port Salon Pier, and just looking at an image of it here for our live streamers, and it looks in good condition. But what is the current situation? Because I was contacted, as I'm sure you were first, before I would have been, over the Christmas, with people concerned about its condition and also maybe slip time frames in terms of when it would be finished.
Well, I was on with Donald yesterday, Greg, and I gave a rundown on it, what the situation was, what I knew it up to prior to Christmas, and I got an update yesterday again. And but the story was that there was a contractor appointed to do the work on the pier. They were subcontracting out some of the work on it. Some of the work that they had subcontracted out wasn't done to a required standard, I believe, and I think that group of people was let go. And there's other people doing the work there now. And the damage that had been done there over the Christmas period, or prior just to Christmas, was still some of the work that had been done previously and hadn't been removed. And I think it's going to be removed shortly. That's out at the end of the pier. And that was part of the works was that's going to have to be removed and have been replaced again. So
whilst the end of the pier looks disastrous, It perhaps shouldn't be the way it is, but it is part of the ongoing process.
It was part of the works that had been done at the earlier stage, and that was going to have to be replaced again. And it looks worse now after the storm over Christmas. Mm. I'd done more damage to it, but it was coming out anyhow. And the work is ongoing at the back of the pier, and they're moving out towards the head of the pier. And it will take time, and as I said yesterday, we had hoped after the delays that have been incurred that would had hoped to be completed by Easter. And having talked to the contractor yesterday and having talked to the marine engineer of Donegal County Council, they're still hopeful to have that work substantially complete, if not completed, by Easter time. And they're aware that, and the contractor's aware that, there's going to be days that they're not going to be able to work down there, and if that factored into their plans, but they do still hope to have definitely substantially complete, as they have not complete.
The big time, though, is, and we don't know when it might arrive, is summer. You know, it's a critical piece of infrastructure just to attract people and for, you know, for an area. I think we don't have to explain that. Would you be hopeful if we have an initial deadline of Easter that we certainly will see work substantially completed, if not completed, by the summer?
Well, I'm going to try and make sure that the contractor holds to his time and ensure that it is going to be completed by Easter time and certainly long before the summer time.
Okay.
And as you say, it is a massive attraction over there, and Port Salon, I'm sure, different piers and different parts around the county, as you're aware of as well, attracts a lot of people for the summertime, the good weather, whether it's jumping on or whether it's sitting on the pier or having picnics on the pier. And the local businesses all benefit from that.
Mm-hmm.
But unfortunately, because of this Brexit adjustment fund, the money was supposed to be spent before the end of the year. And thankfully, Minister McCann Logue has got an extension to that fund and he's guaranteed the funding will be there to get this job completed.
Mm-hmm.
So I have to thank him for that too.
Yeah, and of course, the deadline initially was like, really, do we have to start this now? But that being said, I think most people accepted that we don't want to lose it, you know, use it or lose it. And in the long run, it'll be far more beneficial for the area. But there's more information going to be made available to people next Tuesday night at the Store Bar there at the pier in Port Salon. A council engineer is going to be attending. And is that just to sort of outline what you've been outlining to us and maybe answer any further questions the public might have?
As to try and answer any questions the public has, any concern they have, as to give a more final update on it, and to assure the people that of the work, as well as what I've already said, to let them know what work already has been done since this new group, that started the work at the back of the pier, who are working at it, give them an update on what progress they've made so far, and hopefully people will go away with a full story at that stage instead of half stories, and look forward to the meeting on Tuesday night, and the contractors and the marine engineer will be in attendance as well at 8 o'clock at the Stores Bar in Port Salon here.
Okay, 8 o'clock in the Stores Bar.
Yeah.
Listen, thanks very much, Liam. Take care of yourself.
Thanks, Greg.
All right, take care. Councillor Liam Blaney there, who was speaking to Donald yesterday, who I didn't hear. But anyway, that's the update. Just been contacted by a couple of listeners to say that there is a car on fire on the Windy Hall Road in Letterkenny. It's up beside the hospital. Please avoid from the Windy Hall Road up and from the Glencar Road down, as there's no way through. So obviously we'll get a more official update on that and bring that to you a little later on. But just for now, to remind you that there's a car on fire on the Windy Hall Road in Letterkenny, and please avoid from the Windy Hall Road up and from the Glencar Road down, as there's no way through currently at the moment. I'm doing my second boot camp of 2024 in an hour. I'm a tad tender after yesterday. I hate the thought of it, but once you get there, it's not too bad. It's hard pushing yourself to get to the class, yeah. And I think then something kicks in, doesn't it? Or I'm told that. And I was chatting to Lee before at 9 and suggesting that, you know, where do you get the time to do this? Of course there is time. And Lee quite rightly pointed that out. It's just motivate yourself to maximise that time, isn't it? A caller says, I'm so glad to see the back of 2023. I lost two members of my family, a parent and a sibling, so it was tough. But I went with the flow, did the decorations and cooked dinner, but I was so glad when midnight on the 31st came this year. Can only be better, happier 2024 to you all, and a happy 2024 to you too. And I hope it is much happier. And unfortunately, and it doesn't, it can happen at any age, but you know, as we do get a little older, you get those years, don't you, whereby it seems that everything's happening, and especially when you lose two people so close to you. I had the same situation, my sister and father, in a short period of time a couple of years ago, and went through with the Christmas for children and what have you, but it's tough because they're not there. Things with time, dependent on the individual, with time do improve, and I hope 2024 does so drastically for you. It's been a tough 23. And if you want to, let us know. If you want to let us know what you would like to see in 2024, please get in touch with us, 086 60 25000. What I would like to, some changes I would like to see, and this is not as serious, of course, as the awful situation our last listener was pointing out for them in their personal life, is if we could develop a system now, right at the start of the year, where we could capture all the rain for the 51 weeks of the year where it piddles down. Right, and then we could use that water for the 1 week it's sunny without having to restrict water supplies. You know, something like that, wouldn't that be fantastic? But anyway, not likely to happen. Right, we're joined on the programme now by, we're joined on the programme now by James, a parent of children in the Killigordon National School. Good morning to you, James. Thank you so much for joining us.
Morning, Greg. Thanks very much for having me again.
No, it's good to have you on the programme. You were on with us in relation to parking and road conditions outside the children's school. Has there been any update for the new year? Because we said we wanted to come back to this because it was just at the mouth of Christmas, James, as you might remember, you know, and it would have been an easy for us to sort of let it slide. So what's the situation?
Yeah, so, pardon me, I still kind of don't have a voice, but effectively what I had done was on the morning that we had been on the radio with yourselves, I had explained that at the time, back in September, we had spoken to Gardaí and the council, and we had sent a few emails in, and to that point, nobody had responded.
Mm-hmm.
So using sort of the clout, if you will, from being on the radio and that sort of bit of exposure, I sent both the guards and the council the clip from the radio and said that, you know, it's been 2 or 3 months and nobody's got back to me. We've been on the radio this morning explaining our concerns. Could somebody at least come back to us and follow up and see what we can do? And the next day, the very next day, I believe it was the Thursday, we had the guards actually came back to us, and they explained that outside of school hours in an unmarked vehicle, they were doing speed checks and that everything was fine. But they did say that they would try and do some high-vis checkpoints in the new year when the schools reopen. They would bring it to the attention of the council to carry out surveys in order to maybe get the speed awareness vans and so on and so forth in there. And they were looking also at the parking on that as well. Now, the officer, I don't want to name him obviously at this point, but he was very prompt in coming back to me, and he sent an email on the Thursday to the council just, you know, sort of highlighting our points. And the very next day to that, so the Friday, the council came back to him, which I find was very prompt, and they said that they were going to put up some traffic counters in the new year at the location that can, just to look at traffic speeds and volumes. They explained that there was a safety scheme due for completion of the traffic signals in Killygordon next year. They've identified something as a HCL, a 1 kilometre section outside of Killygordon towards Stornorler, starting from the entrance to Forest Park, where they hope to engineer solutions by 2025. But also they were saying about they were looking to standardise a bus set down point between Forest Park and the traffic signals outside of the school.
Mm.
Now, this is fantastic, obviously, that the guards have come back to me then after having to go to you. But the council responded to the guards. Now, council still haven't responded to me. Council haven't responded to school. And a lot of the information that the council have sent to the guards here, I'm led to believe that the school itself know very little about that.
Yeah.
So we're sort of banging our heads against the wall here, all happy to talk to you, sort of.
Yeah, okay, but let's, because hopefully, James, some progress is being made. Obviously, Christmas was in between our conversations, so
yeah, of course.
Maybe now they're going to use the couple of working days now that everyone's sort of somewhat back to normal now, get everyone's ducks in a row and get those lines of communications open and get that information into the school and get something firm so that we all know exactly where we're at. Because you've done fantastic work and got some great information. Hopefully now there's someone back at work today, or maybe they've already been back, that will build on this and formulate something that we can sort of hold to account, if that makes sense.
Yeah, that's it. And it's just opening up the lines of communication with the council, because, as I said, it just feels a little bit that we're sort of always just kept on the back foot. There's obviously, you know, there's a couple of questions we would just like to pose to council and to the authorities, just to see, you know, what can we do to help? Where can we go with this? How can we, you know, sort of get involved in this and keep that line of communication open without having to go to, you know, as I explained there, that the guards then have to email somebody and then they go back to the guards and we're getting the information, you know, sort of second or third hand almost.
Mm-hmm.
So we've tried that. We reached out to a couple of people. We as I said before, we've spoken to councillors, but they're not very forthcoming. And this is sort of why I've updated you on this, why we want to just put it on the radio. First thing in the new year, you know, keep it fresh in the minds. Everybody's got New Year's resolutions and everybody's got all these, you know, great wishes and hopes for the year ahead. And, you know, it's something that we don't want to let sit because it's very, very easily forgotten about. As you explained before, we're a small school in a small location, and it's very easy to forget about it. So,
but and I think, whilst there might have not been any serious instances, all the warning signs are there, and it only takes one incident. And that's what we're all trying to avoid, isn't it, James?
Exactly. And that's the thing, you know, the Gardaí came back and they said that while there was no serious incidences that warranted the speed van there or any sort of additional you know, visible response or checkpoints or whatever. As you say, it takes that one. And when they're looking at these things outside of school hours, or maybe they're looking at it in the evening when it's a lot quieter, you're not really taking a fair sample of that. Now, it's great that they've got all these, you know, these plans and ideas, but, you know, it'd be great if we could get a time frame and, you know, it's calm and, you know, it's just trying to plan it out so that at least the school knows, you know, what's going to happen, when's it going to happen, who's going to be where, so that we can, you know, that we can work with them on that. Because obviously we don't want to isolate ourselves, you know, from all of these departments. We don't want to be seen as the bad guys or whatever.
Listen, at the end of the day, it's like other issues we discussed, James. I am sure you, us, the Gardaí, the council, we all want the same thing, or we all want to avoid the same thing. So listen, sometimes you have to go on the public airways to give thing a move on, but I don't think it pitches you in an opposing position. We just need it formalised now. And I think the guards have been very forthcoming with you, and fair play to them. Now, we'll contact we're going to contact the council as well and just see what the plan is in relation to you know, traffic counters. What does that mean? Is that a means to an end? Is this the TII? Is this the council? You know, there's loads of further questions that need to be chased up on with the council. We're going to do that. I'm sure you're going to do that. But there seems to have been a bit of progress. We just need it formalised now and all parties working in the same direction, James.
Absolutely. And if we can get the, as I say, if we can get the support of the local councillors on board, just to look at this and just help us push along, that would be great. Because, as you know, we can only really reiterate it, you know, so many times. Just we don't want that accident to be the one that is, you know, the cause for all this. So prevention is better than cure, I suppose. But I just thought we'd let everybody know. We'd just keep it fresh in everybody's mind going forward. And if there's any changes or whatever, then look, surely we can have that discussion again in the future.
Of course. You know the numbers now at this stage, or the email. Thank you very much for that, James. And obviously we'll keep you and the listeners updated with any responses we get from the council. But for now, thank you so much.
Brilliant. Thanks,
all right,
Greg. Take care.
Bye-bye. 086 60 25,000. James, good to his word to keep us updated. And first show back from me in the new year. There you have it. Okay. Right. Okay. We got a wee letter in from the Lake House. Which is nice. The Director of Nursing, Jennifer Ranking. On behalf of the Lake House Nursing Home staff and management, we'd like to thank you most sincerely for your very generous donation of €500 for the Patients' Comfort Fund and the Christmas Hamper. We really enjoyed the Christmas broadcast. Our plan is in the new year to take residents to our local hotel, Arnold's, for a meal and music, and the money will be spent towards that. Wow, thanks for the update, actually, to know where it's going. And thank you to the Lake House, its management and staff in Port na Blah for accepting our request for hosting us, is the way I wanted to describe that, to host us. It was a lovely little run-up to Christmas. Really, really enjoyed it. Put me right in the spirit heading into it. And again, we had Sinead and Tommy and Alex, a late sub, around five of our nursing homes, community hospitals, visiting staff and residents, and it's just lovely. It gave me a wee lift and we appreciate it. And it's great to know they're going to Arnold's, which is lovely. That's where they said, wasn't it? Yeah, Arnold's. I wonder if you'd raised the issue of the lack of transport from Dublin to Letterkenny the Friday before Christmas. My son and his partner had the bus booked on the Friday before Christmas. They were coming from England, but the plane was late in and they missed that bus. They were told to go online and book the next one, but they were told all was full, and as was the one after that. The next one had one seat free, but that was no good to them, of course, as a couple. They waited for the next one. The next one after that was 9 o'clock at night. So we ended up having to start driving to Dublin to collect them. Why is Donegal the forgotten county when it comes to transport, especially the week of Christmas? Yeah, indeed. It's a nightmare situation. Hopefully in 2024, our government officials will start to fight for the rights of an SNA role. I've been an SNA for 4 years and I've good experience. Now the department have called an SNA role Ukrainian hours, and it's reviewed every 3 to 4 months, just so they don't have to give us yearly contracts. I'm giving this country one more year and then it's time to exit if things don't improve. Everyone gets everything when they come to this country. Leo and Martin, please stop not answering the question and start looking after the Irish, the real Irish people that put yous into power. Hardworking Irish people are sick of this crap. I understand where you're coming from, but what's real Irish versus not real Irish? But anyway, listen, get into that nice and early in the new year. Rightio, let's take a quick break. Back with more shortly.
Watch the show live now on YouTube, Facebook and at highlandradio.com.
Cartlana, Farignum Starula, Kostner Rod Museum. Is few gomor with the Starula. Mas feder de agricht curla heidicht na heden, beder gemacht to call ye jontes all fun gushte merschrecht heidichte. Ta irtish eroskultinish heritagecouncil.ie/funding. Let takicht on reintichte realtish artulige heidichte.
Get ready for Easy Living Furniture's biggest ever winter sale. Absolutely everything reduced across sofa, dining, bedroom, mattress and accessories. It's the furniture you want at amazing winter sale prices. Winter sale now on at Easy Living Furniture, Crescent Link Retail Park. Wishing all our wonderful customers a happy and healthy new year.
Watson Menswear's Big January Sale is now on, in-store and online, with great discounts across top names in menswear, like Andre, Tom Penn, Rimazumo, Penguin and Tommy Bow. Don't miss out on some great bargains in the January Sale now on at Watson Menswear, Main Street, Letterkenny, and online at watsonmenswear.com. The second reign of Jim McGuinness as manager of Donegal begins with the first competitive game of the year this Wednesday evening, with Donegal playing host to Armagh in their opening Dr. McKenna Cup fixture. Join the Highland team for full match commentary from the 7:30 throw-in in Ballybuffet. Highland's coverage of Donegal in the Dr. McKenna Cup is brought to you by Highland Motors in Letterkenny, with the new Citroën C5 Aircross, an SUV with great comfort and styling, perfect for Donegal roads. For a test drive or to order your new 241, pop into Highland Motors.
Welcome back to the 9 till noon show. How are you all keeping? We're on the line now with Dennis Sheridan. Dennis, good morning to you.
Good morning, Greg.
It's not a pleasant story to have to talk about. Is it so early in the new year? Tell us what happened Monday night, Dennis.
It's a neighbour of mine here in Kilmacrevan who rang me yesterday morning to say that during the night that some people came to his house, and at the doorstep of his house they ripped up paving slabs, and there was flower pots and stuff there thrown around the place, and then they went round the back of the house, and there was a gate at the back of the house which tried to damage the gate as well. And the damage really to the house wasn't that much. We've fixed it up yesterday for him. The damage really wasn't that great, but he's been left very badly traumatised by it. And this person is a pensioner, and actually and not in good health at all at the minute, you know. And it has left him in a bad place, you know. He's very nervous staying there on his own at night, you know, and he's scared these people might come back again, you know.
Yeah, and I mean, obviously, he can be somewhat reassured that he's got wonderful neighbours around him that came and undid the damage that was done. But of course, like any of us, we would be wondering, well, why my house? Are they going to come back? Am I being targeted? You know, all those type of things would be going through your head, and I can understand how you'd feel nervous on his own there now.
Yeah, well, I don't think really that they were targeting him, you know, because the house was on the main street there going through Kilmacrenan, and me personally, I think it was probably possibly some people done it maybe just for a bit of a laugh, or didn't think it was, you know, the damage they done wasn't that great, but they probably, you know, maybe if it was young people, they don't understand the effect it can have on older people, you know, living alone. And but it has had a really big effect on this person, you know. When I talked to this person yesterday, they were really in a bad place, you know, and really concerned and worried about not sleeping, you know, and actually not sleeping, sitting in the house in the dark with just to see if anybody else would come again, you know. So it can, you know, the damage, the material damage to the house is easily fixed. It's just what the damage to the person psychologically is the most worrying part of it, you know.
And the worst of it is, Dennis, you know, the people who did this, maybe aren't listening to us, but secondly, they probably don't even consider the consequences of their actions, that what for them might seem, I don't know where they derive fun from it, but what they seem might, they just think it's a bit of horseplay or something, but they don't realise that this has had a really strong impact on a person.
Yeah, I would say you're exactly right there, Greg. And, you know, probably as they did realise, I'm sure, you know, there's, you know, I'm not out to, you know, to demonise these people, but I'm sure as they realise, you know, that the effect that they have on people, especially when somebody is old and they're on ill health, you know. Mm. I'm sure, you know, but, you know, I suppose really as well, we all should be looking out for our neighbours, especially our elderly neighbours at this time, you know, and, you know, our world is changing and there's a lot of more people around. And I think it's a time to be extra vigilant with our elderly neighbours and watch out for them. And
that's a fair point too, and one that's not discussed. It's not necessarily to say whatever change is happening is bad or good. That's maybe a conversation for another day. But it's going to affect different people in different ways, isn't it? And how, you know, in terms of, you know, some people, especially if you're an older person, change is not nice. You know, it's I'm not saying that's the same for all older people, don't get me wrong, but for some, you know, they see a lot of change and it can be quite worrying for them.
Absolutely. So I think it's more important now than ever that maybe we call on our elder neighbours and just let them know that we're around and that we care and we realise that, mm-hmm. you know, that they do feel vulnerable, and just to reassure them that we're keeping an eye out there, you know, and if we see anything strange activity around the place, or people hanging around, or strange vehicles, or whatever, that we're aware that, you know, something mightn't be right, and that maybe just to. You know, if we see something suspicious, maybe report it to the guards or whatever.
All right, okay. Listen, Dennis, fair play to you and the neighbours for rallying round and getting the damage repaired quickly. But as you say, the real damage that's going to be more difficult to repair is the emotional damage. But we hope this person feels the warmth of the community and the safety of it and is feeling better sooner rather than later, Dennis.
Okay, thank you, Greg. Okay,
thanks very much. Take care of yourself. Dennis Sheridan there. That was damage caused to a property on Monday night on Kilmacrennan's main street. And you know what? If anyone saw any of that activity, maybe the person who was the victim or feels the victim of it might get some comfort if the Gardaí would speak to those responsible. There's probably CCTV around the place, or maybe someone saw something. I'm sure the Gardaí would be very welcoming to any information there. It's a game we're in that cycle where many of us have loved ones living afar, many in Australia at the moment, living their best life, seemingly, according to Facebook anyway. While we were huddled around the turkey, they were out on the beach, what have you. But that's the lovely side of it. For others, maybe it's for other reasons. But lots of you have loved ones over in Australia and maybe sent stuff over. And I'm just wondering, have you had any issue with them not receiving what you might have sent them? And it's off the back of a message in from a listener. I have a daughter in Australia. She has been sent cards and different things over the year, but never received them. When I asked the post office about it, they said that unless you register the card, you can't track it, which is understandable. She put it on the Irish in Oz board online that she wasn't receiving post from home, and a number of others have not been getting anything posted from home either. A lady received a card that had money in it and had been opened. They put a note in it to say that money wasn't allowed to be posted. Didn't know that. They say if people complain, something can change about this. Don't put money in cards. Put cards in A4 envelopes so that they look like documents and the card might be received. So is this a case where the Australian customs is intercepting cash being sent from Ireland and elsewhere into Australia? If so, where does that go? Have you had this problem? Is this something your loved one over in Australia said, "Mom, Dad, I never got that stuff you sent me"? But anyway, this caller says if you put your cards in an A4 envelope, they're less likely to be flagged as potentially containing money or something, I presume. Well, this listener's daughter is in Brisbane, and it's probably happening in the rest of Australia. So let us know if that's something you've come across. 086 60 25,000, 086 60 25,000, or give us a call on 074 91 25,000. Right, let's take a quick break, and we're going to be returning to the issue at Maharabeg School, where we've had contact from a number of listeners who were receiving fines and penalties. There are temporary lights there, but they're sure the lights weren't on when they were being flagged for speeding, because it's a variable speed limit. Anyway, we're going to have more on that on the 9 till noon show after these messages. So we recently spoke to a number of people who received speeding fines outside Maharabeg National School. To update this, update us on the situation, we talk now to Councillor Paul Canning, who's been in touch with a number of representatives on this issue. Good morning to you, Mr. Canning. Thank you very much for joining us.
Good morning, Greg, and Happy New Year. Can you hear me okay?
Yes, loud and clear. Same to you and your family as well. Paul, I think most people might be aware, but we've got listeners in the west, north, south, east of the county. Describe to us where Maharabeg National School is and its situation as it relates to this road.
It would be the Maharabeg School would be on the National Primary Road between Derry and Letterkenny, probably within about 5 miles of Letterkenny, thereabouts. That would be my best location of it, you know. It's a school that was there prior to the road being actually developed. So the road came after the school, or the speed of the road came after the school. So they're probably the reason why they are working or trying to work with the school and slowing down the traffic at that location. The situation with the school, unfortunately, is that, it's not unfortunate, but because to suit working parents and that, the Maharabeg School opens up a bit earlier than the norm. So a lot of people are getting caught out with the time frame. They're coming up the road and they're saying, well, it's only 8:30 here, and the school will not be open at 9 o'clock. But Maharabeg School opens earlier than that. So the actual periodic speed limit starts at 8:20, I think it is, till about 8:50. That's the first. And that's where a lot of people are getting caught, as they're coming up the road and they're saying it's not even happy.
But Paul, does that speed limit apply even if the digital lights indicating that speed aren't on?
No, whenever the lights are not on, that speed limit doesn't apply. And the problem we had over Christmas is those lights were not working. And there were people, and I find it very ironic that the actual speed van didn't check the speed lights, you know. So the speed van was there at a time that the lights weren't working. Now, I have spoken to the local guard involved in it, and I've spoken to the director of roads within Donegal County Council. I've emailed them both as well, just for a paper trail, but there's a company, Swarco, is what that looks after it. They're a Dublin-based company, and I've also emailed them to get the exact clarification as to when these lights weren't working and when they were working too. But the problem being is, because it was over the Christmas period, the time frame, anybody getting their penalty, the time frame would have ran out, so they would have had to either appeal it or pay it. So I advised them to appeal it. I have also, I have no problem with speed vans, but I'm not very happy as to the location of this particular speed van. Because when a person is coming into the actual flashing lights and they are travelling at 100 kilometres per hour, for them to get down to the 60 kilometres, it takes 20 or 30 metres, depending on what's behind you. That speed van seems to be trapping them within that short space.
And that's
as well.
A particular issue coming from the Derry direction, isn't it? It's a sweeping corner and it's on you immediately, effectively.
Immediately.
But that being said, can we have our cake and eat it too, Paul? We've just been speaking about Killigordon National School, and they're struggling with traffic in their area as well, flying past the school. They would love to see a speed van outside their school. Is it not the responsibility of motorists to sort of, there are school signs that are there to already be maybe saying, are children going in and out of school, to be slowing down as the approach? Do we not have to take some responsibility? I'm playing devil's advocate here now, but do we not have to take some responsibility as motorists? Because what we're talking about here is children's safety here, and it only takes one instant and we could be talking about an awful, awful tragedy.
Yeah, you're 100% right. It's down to driver behaviour as well. Don't get me wrong. But this is periodic speed limits, you know. So there is a difference. But there is nothing stopping the speed van from relocating to a location that whenever the car is coming within 50 metres or 100 metres off those speed lights, that the car see the speed light, the speed van.
So in other words, if this was about road safety, it could be in a much safer place. But if this is about revenue collection, it's where it is now. Now, I'm not saying that's the motivation, but you're saying it could stay offering the safety aspect of it, but give drivers a fairer crack of the whip, given the fact that you get quite late notice of a speed change. That is temporary.
Yeah, that's exactly what I'm saying, you know. And the situation, like, you know, and if you read into the whole picture analysis of the location of the speed van, the speed van is also creating maybe its own issues with safety where it's located. So I would find that for the speed van to move closer in the Derry direction and allow then the people, they see the speed van, they see the lights, they slow the traffic down, and that then works.
So people are slamming the brakes on effectively and
well, this is it. Yeah. This is it. And the thing about it, people are not breaking any laws coming into that at 100 kilometres per hour. It's just from whenever they hit the lights, they are slowed. I can assure you, whenever they are passing the school, they are at the proper speed. But it's from the traffic, from the flashing lights to the school that they are getting caught, which is a wee bit unfair. But whenever the lights is not even working, that's even worse.
So, how do you estimate how many people might have got speeding tickets when the lights weren't even on? Because I think, you know, in that moment, you'd have to be, a lot of people go, geez, were they on, weren't they on? I'm not quite sure. You know, it's one of those. But we're talking rush hour here. We're talking the Derry to Letterkenny, Letterkenny to Derry Road. The vans can get you in both directions, but perhaps mostly from the Derry direction. As far as all motorists were concerned, there was no reduction in the speed limit. You know, we've had contact from, you know, a handful of people, but that number could be massive, really. And as I say, they're second guessing themselves as to whether the lights were showing the reduced speed limit or not.
Yeah, you're 100% right. Those that will appeal it, and those will just say, no, I should just pay it. Listen, what me and you's doing here today is helping the speed at that Marabeg school, because we're highlighting the fact that people will start realising. And also the people that have got the speed fines will also say, well, let's start taking note here. It's just the fact of that first initial stage where people are coming along the road, they're driving, they're 20 past 8, they're not expecting the school to be open at that time, maybe for the first time. It's those people then are getting caught. A little bit unfair, I think, in my opinion. So I'm hoping that I get word back that they might relocate the actual speed van closer to the Derry side and give the people an opportunity to slow down further back from maybe Cornsport.
And also make it safer. Yeah. For traffic and those in the school, because this is these are go safe, you know, not go collect. They're go safe vans, and the emphasis should be on the safe. Okay, it's an interesting story. I mean, theoretically, hundreds of people could have received fines. We just simply don't know. I would imagine that's the case, but then again, maybe there's a lot of light flashing and stuff that goes on. But anyway, be that as it may, thanks for that, Paul. I appreciate it, and maybe keep us updated with any update that you get. This is going to be down to the motorists to appeal this, presumably. No one's going to review it and cancel these fines, because we talk of the fines where a lot of people renew their insurance in the next couple of months. You know, they could be sitting with points on their license that could affect their insurance as well. So we need to make sure this has gotten right.
Yeah, you're 100% right. It's up to the people, and I would say the time frame's probably out for the appeal. But I've also personally have sent in into the department about the location of the actual speed van, because there is entrances going on to the National Primary Road, and that speed van is impairing the vision line for those entrances. So that's not located in the best places either.
Which is also really quite significant. Okay, thank you very much for that. I appreciate it.
Very much.
Take care of yourself. Councillor Paul Canning there. They should make a walking tunnel under the school so that people can cross. A private company would need to come in and do it. There's too much traffic. It's dangerous to cross. Who would do it, though? And it shouldn't be funded. Schools shouldn't have to campaign for this stuff, because, as we said, a lot of the times it's the school, the road that was built beside the school. So just to be clear about the reduced speed limits at Maharabeg School, thousands of you pass it every single day, so it is significant. When the schools open, the lights are on Monday to Friday from 8.20 a.m. to 8.50 p.m. and then in the afternoon from 13.25 to 1.45 and then from 2.25 to 2.45. Speed limits at that time are 60 kilometres per hour. But for that speed limit to apply, of course, the temporary speed limit indicators need to be on and giving motorists a fair shout. Let us know if you've been affected by that on the usual numbers 086 60 25,000, 086 60 25,000, or by calling 074 91 25,000. It is the 9 till noon show on this the 4th of January. We'll be back with much more in the next hour after we take a break now for the news and the obituary notices.